Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it is really a pleasure to be here for the relaunch of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Now, for some of you may be used to our weekend broadcast under the moniker Health Talk, and that would not be surprising because Health Talk is the longest-running physician-hosted broadcast on the subject of health and medicine in the United States. And Health Talk briefly experienced a hiatus over last month, and we're back in 2014. We're very happy to be with you. And for many of you, it's going to be a couple of hours of health broadcasting. I took the theme Intelligent Medicine based on the title of a book that I wrote, must have been about 8 or 10 years ago. The book endeavored to look at, you know, not just natural approaches to health problems, because, yes, that's important, but we also look at high-tech medical approaches, and we take a very critical approach to what's happening in the world of medicine today, because we're experiencing, it's difficult to see, a real challenge to American medicine. Because medicine's too expensive. We've got Obamacare, or if you prefer, the Affordable Care Act, here to rescue us from the precipice. But even if we work out healthcare.gov and deliver people the right kind of insurance policies and figure out some way to pay for it, we're headed for trouble because Americans' health is going downhill. According to a recent study, the coming generations may be the first generations where we don't experience an increase in longevity. Since the advent of, quote, modern medicine and modern medications and better sanitation, we've managed to extend people's lifespans on the average. People don't die of pneumonia at the age of 40 anymore. What we're seeing is an increase in degenerative diseases, and that's partly because of our culture. It's partly because of our adulterated food supply. It may also, to some extent, be because of the types of medicine that we inflict on people. High-tech medical approaches, yes, they can save lives, but sometimes it's overkill. And you know, we're going to call it as we see it here on Intelligent Medicine. We're going to talk about the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. Those of you who are familiar with Health Talk know that that's been our theme over nearly the past quarter century. So we're going to invite your phone calls. We also want to do some problem solving. Our calling number, 1-888-302-3684. That's 888-302-3684. And we look forward to your questions about medicine and health. If you've got a health problem or you've got an issue, maybe you're concerned about gluten, or maybe you're concerned about GMOs in food, you want to make a statement about the way you think health care ought to go in the United States. We're fair game here for fielding your questions. 888-302-3684. And in a little while, we're going to talk, one of the big themes, obviously, in 2013, the end of the year was just abysmal because we had a series of, quote, studies that purportedly show that vitamins are worthless or even worse, harmful. And we've been doing a lot of damage control on that subject. And, oh, by the way, I don't just do radio programs. I also do podcasts. And you can access our great podcasts. I'm very proud of them. At drhoffman.com/podcasts. And that's where you can find the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. And we've been doing we've been talking to a lot of guests, people who have a critical perspective on some of these vitamin studies, And we talk to people in the herbal industry because the herbal industry is under attack. They say that the herbs are dangerous. The herbs are adulterated. And yes, you know, we've got to call it as we see it here on Intelligent Medicine. There are some instances of bad players in the vitamin and supplement industry. But by no means should we paint with a broad brushstroke the entire industry, the entire enterprise of approximately 50% of Americans who take one supplement or another or rely on herbal medications or who do natural therapy with medically oriented nutritionists or chiropractors or naturopaths or nutrition practitioners, that these Americans are simply misguided, that they're being deluded by extravagant claims. So if you go to drhoffman.com/podcast, you'll find an assortment of great podcasts. It's a whole new way of listening to the radio in 2014. We're seeing things are really changing fast. And yes, you may be sitting next to a radio or sitting in your car listening directly to this broadcast, but things are changing. More and more people are listening to podcasts. You know, when I want to see access a TV show, I don't rush home. I used to. I mean, in the old days, if you wanted to see an episode of The Sopranos, you'd be driving like crazy to get back home. You know, you'd rush through the door just when that theme would sound, and you'd sit down and watch the episode. Or maybe you'd be stuck in traffic, and you go, "Oh, geez, I missed the episode." Nowadays, you just you set your VCR. You've got on demand. There's so many ways you can watch or listen via your computer. And so podcasts will be available of Intelligent Medicine. And we've got, even though we're not live on the radio with the Intelligent Medicine podcasts that we do on weekdays, they're available at drhoffman.com. We also want you to subscribe to our newsletter. The Intelligent Medicine newsletter provides you with a wealth of additional information, plus a heads up on guests that we're going to schedule and various types of happenings and activities in the world of health. You can subscribe by emailing us. Email us to a radio program, that's one word, radioprogram@AOL.com. And just state that you want the newsletter. And no, we're not going to sell your name to some marketers. You'll start getting all kinds of spam and pitches to buy supplements. We just want to get the information out to you in as many ways as possible. So our number, 888-302-3684, because it's our first day back with a new schedule and a new name. It may take a little while to get the word out that we are back. We're on the radio. So here's an item that I want to, I think this really exemplifies where we have gone wrong in our current medical system. And it really speaks to the issue of intelligent medicine, making proper medical choices. Headline, common knee surgery ineffective in study. I mean, how many people do you know get arthroscopic knee surgery? And the way they described it is, well, we're just going to clean out your knee. Then you're going to feel better. You're going to walk better. It's going to make a difference for you. Well, millions of these surgeries are done every year. It's one of the most common types of surgery. And according to research done in Finland, I guess they had to do the research in Finland because if they did in the United States, it would threaten the knee surgery industry. But in Finland, they may actually be concerned with cost containment. You know, it's socialized medicine up there. It's a small country. So they really wanted to find out, does this work or is it a waste of time? The Finnish doctors published their research in the New England Journal of Medicine. And what they found was the average improvement among the people who received real surgery. And oh, by the way, there was something called sham surgery, where they pretended to do surgery. They cut a little hole in the side of the knee and the people went under. So they didn't. They woke up. Everybody had a bandage on their knee. The people who got real surgery versus the people who got sham surgery, well, they both improved because there was a placebo effect of getting something done. That always happens in medicine. But there was no improvement with the real surgery. And about 700,000 such surgeries done in the United States each year at a cost of $4 billion. The author of this study in the New England Journal of Medicine says the new findings will not be welcomed with open arms by the American medical community, particularly orthopedists who perform this surgery. And, you know, frankly, a little vested interest in that. It is a source of income. They think they're doing good. I mean, doctors are not crooks. They're altruistic. But ultimately, this study in the New England Journal of Medicine shows that, indeed, there was not a lot of difference between placebo surgery or sham surgery for patients who had knee problems, so-called meniscal tears. So when we return, we're gonna look at the other side of the coin. What are some of the natural therapies that can be used for arthritis? And there are quite a few. That's Intelligent Medicine, folks. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Are you worried about your kids and family having too much sugar in their diets? Then switch to great-tasting spry xylitol gums and mints from Clear, the world's leading xylitol experts. Xylitol is a natural sweetener that has nearly identical taste to table sugar. It tastes great. Clinical trials have shown the dental benefits of using gum and mints made with xylitol after meals and snacks. Bacteria cannot break down xylitol, and this leads to less plaque and less acid to cause cavities. And spry xylitol gum and mints are perfect for anyone on a sugar-restricted diet, as xylitol has a low glycemic index of 7 compared to sugar's level of 83. Spry xylitol gum and mints are recommended by dentists, medical doctors, periodontists, pediatricians, and many health organizations worldwide. Spry costs the same as regular gum and mints, and you get the added health benefits. Look for Spry gum and mints at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other natural products retailers everywhere.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a pleasure being here, answering your questions. And our number is 888-302-3684. And we got a caller. We got Fred from New Hampshire. Hi, Fred. How you doing? Hello, Fred. Hello, Fred. Are you there? Do we have Fred? Oh, okay. All right. Well, then let's just proceed on our subject, which is natural therapies for knee pain. Now, we talked earlier about some of the downsides of surgery. Surgery not more impressive than sham surgery. Actual surgery did not exceed placebo surgery in terms of benefit. Not, look, I won't say in all cases, because in individual cases, some people think it's great. It's a miracle. It's fantastic. I walk terrific after my surgery. God bless you. But overall, these studies show that knee surgery, vastly overrated and overperformed, nearly 750,000 knee surgeries, maybe virtually unnecessary. So what do you do? Well, here's an article from Journal of the American Medical Association. And the headline is Diet, Exercise, or Both for Knee Osteoarthritis. Now, how in the world could diet have an impact on knee osteoarthritis? Well, osteoarthritis is an inflammatory disorder, and there is such a thing as an inflammatory diet. And, oh, by the way, last time I checked, there's gravity. And if you're carrying a lot of weight, you're going to put a lot of pressure on your knees. There's an equation. Multiply your weight by a factor of about 5 or 6, especially when you're going downstairs. If you notice we have knee problems, it's actually harder to go downstairs than upstairs. It's because you're sort of like launching off and then landing on your knee, even if you're walking carefully and gingerly. So it turns out in this study, after 18 months, there was substantial weight loss in one group, and they had a dramatic improvement, not just in subjective measures of pain, but in an objective blood test, interleukin 6, which is a measure of inflammation. So it wasn't just about a gravity effect. You actually reduce inflammation when you get on a less inflammatory diet, less sugar, less junk, better quality oils. And, oh, by the way, less fat cells. Fat cells promote inflammation in your body. All right, so that was the diet component. What about exercise? Well, you may say, look, you know, you got knee pain. Take it easy, right? Because you know, all that grinding, that's not going to be good. Well, it turns out that people just sit around have worse knee pain than people who exercise moderately. Now, there is an effect. If you've got bad knee pain and it's like no pain, no gain, and you say, I'm going to run that marathon or I'm going to do that half marathon, I'll do that 10K race, even though I'm in excruciating pain, bad idea. Listen to your body. But on the other hand, many studies show that runners have no worse knee outcomes than people who are sedentary. You have to be judicious, especially past a certain age, because you just can't run through injuries. It's not a good idea. So in this study, it turned out that diet worked, exercise worked, and together, they work best of all. All right, what about this one? Efficacy and safety of curcumin in patients with active rheumatoid arthritis. Well, turmeric is a kitchen spice, and curcumin, I believe, is one of the hottest nutrients around because it's a potent extract of turmeric, and it's amazing because it has effects against cancer. It may even reduce the harmful effects of chemotherapy. It's good for the brain. It's good for ulcerative colitis. And here's a study showing that curcumin is effective even in rheumatoid arthritis, very severe, debilitating, deforming autoimmune disease that can lead to a substantial loss of mobility and function. So in this particular study, this is in the journal Phytotherapy Research, it's entitled A Randomized Pilot Study to Assess the Efficacy and Safety of Curcumin in Patients with Active Rheumatoid Arthritis. They looked at 45 patients, and they compared curcumin, just 500 milligrams, that's like one small pill, to a popular medication, which is diclofenac sodium. It's sold under names like Voltaren. It's a potent non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. And what they found was the curcumin group showed the highest percentage of improvement, and it was equivalent and, in fact, superior to the commonly used arthritis drug. So that's, you know, certainly an argument for natural therapy for knee pain. Also, this one's great. Frankincense's efficacy in treating osteoarthritis. Now, frankincense is a source of something called boswellin or boswellia. Boswellia extracts have been shown to be effective in asthma and rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, osteoarthritis, collagenous colitis. I treat a lot of colitis patients in my practice in New York City, and it really seems to help. Prostatitis. And many other conditions. And in this study, there are three studies, actually, of boswellia for osteoarthritis. It was extremely effective. So there you have it. Natural therapies may trump conventional therapies in the treatment of knee pain. But before you have that knee surgery, consider a natural approach, diet, exercise, and some of these nutraceuticals. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort. comfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're going to be joining you each weekend for an hour or two. Depends on where you are in the country. You can call us 888-302-3684 gets you an appointment in the doctor's office to pose a question or provide a comment. Intelligent Medicine, once again, the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. And we don't just accept uncritically the reports of incredible new medical breakthroughs on the high-tech medical front. Some of these things are truly going to be a boon to mankind. Others are just expensive rip-offs, which ultimately may cause a whole series of side effects, unleash what I sometimes call Jurassic Park medicine. Jurassic Park medicine is the idea that, remember the movie Jurassic Park? Great movie. Michael Crichton wrote it. And he was, a lot of people don't know this, he was a doctor. He graduated Harvard Medical School and decided instead to become a writer, ultimately a filmmaker, or at least he wrote screenplays. And Jurassic Park is, it's actually a metaphor. It's a metaphor about what we're doing to the environment, but it also can be applied to medicine, because the idea in Jurassic Park, so virtually everyone's seen it, so I don't have to recount the plot, but the idea is they want to create a controlled environment. They want to dominate nature, improve on Mother Nature, bring back the dinosaurs in such a way that, you know, it'll be a nice, benign, safe setting where people can go to this amusement park and go back to the Jurassic era. But the forces of nature are very unpredictable. And that's the metaphor. That's what it's all about in Jurassic Park, is that the only immutable law is the law of unforeseen consequences. And sometimes when we mess with Mother Nature, we get Jurassic Park medicine. So if you take an average American, the average American over 60 or 65, maybe on two or three or five different medications mixed together, who knows what unpredictable consequences will be unleashed. Savage dinosaurs may be coursing through your circulatory system, nervous system, gastrointestinal tract, wreaking havoc. And that's what Jurassic Park medicine is about. That's what we want to avoid. That we want to, we want to be low on the food chain when it comes to medical interventions. So, also, when it comes to natural therapy, there's a lot of stuff out there. Natural therapies that purport to be miracle cures for this, that, and the other thing. We're going to take a critical look at many of these things in 2014, and we're going to debunk them. We're going to take a critical look. All right. So this, without bragging, I'm prolific. I spend a lot of time doing podcasts on the radio. I see patients and I write. And I've been writing a series of articles for a great publication called Mind Body Green. Mind Body Green's it's basically a website where people have articles on health. And I wrote an article entitled, "You Don't Need to Be a Perfect Vegan to Be Healthy." And one of the big trends in 2013, a lot of people believe that veganism is the ultimate diet. Now, for some people, it works out great. But for others, it A, isn't necessary, or B, it could be a downright disaster because a lack of critical nutrients, protein, B12, iron, essential fatty acids, can really make people unhealthy. So often vegans will, one of their heroes that they often quote is Colin Campbell. Colin Campbell wrote something called the China Study, which is not really a study. It's sort of a look at what happened in China in the 20th century. And in the 20th century, China was started being a poor country, and then with affluence, more and more Chinese began to consume more food. There was more pollution, more labor-saving devices. People got fatter, and they got sicker. And so based on that data, and I personally think, and other people have written very, very detailed critiques of Colin Campbell's writing, he cherry-picks the data to demonstrate that it is meat, or in particular dairy products, any animal products, that are screwing up the health of the Chinese. And I have to say that while there may be downsides to modern meat, processed meat, and dairy that is laced with hormones and additives, or overeating in general, that it is not per se meat that is causing the problem. And I have in my hands an article from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, I think one of the most important underreported articles of 2013. And it's entitled Meat Intake and Cause-Specific Mortality, an analysis of Asian studies. And Colin Campbell gets a lot of play when he looks at Asia and says vegan diet is what kept the Chinese healthy. But actually what kept the Chinese healthy when it came to degenerative diseases is they're virtually starving for a long time. They had to do a lot of hard physical work. And by some coincidence, it turns out that as they entered the latter part of the 20th century and emerged into the 21st century and modernity, they started getting sicker, just like us. You've come a long way, baby. The Chinese are now smoking American cigarettes, and there's lots of pollution over there. So in this study that I'm holding in my hands from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and I wrote about it in Mind Body Green. Go to mindbodygreen.com and put my name in the search box, and you'll find my criticism of the Colin Campbell article. And what I say is that the China study is not really a study at all. It's just a compilation of patterns of diet and disease. And this new study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition represents, in effect, a new China study that directly contradicts Colin Campbell's previous conclusions. And it turns out in this study, what they found, quite interestingly, is that increase in meat intake did not increase cancer. In fact, increased meat intake was associated with lower cancer mortality, especially in women in Asian country. Red meat intake, that's supposed to be the worst of all, right? That's rocket fuel for heart disease, according to people who are vegetarian proponents. Red meat intake was inversely associated with cardiovascular death in men. Inversely associated means the more red meat the Chinese consumed, the less likely they were to die of heart disease. Maybe because if you can eat red meat, you're not eating a lot of poor quality refined carbohydrates, lots of white rice. You're getting adequate protein, which may be good for people. So a variety of multiple sources of evidence suggest that you don't have to be a perfect vegan to be healthy. That's not the ultimate attainment in nutrition. And some nutritionists continue to emphasize this fallacy. These are some of the fallacies that we're going to knock down in 2014 on Intelligent Medicine. All right. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, Kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with four key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and let's talk about sleep, okay? Sleep is important, obviously, and one of the downsides of talking about sleep is that when you talk about sleep, some people aren't getting enough, and it makes them feel bad, and it makes them worry more that they're not getting sleep. So when they go to bed at night and they're tossing and turning, not only they're miserable because they're tossing and turning, they may be worried about the fact that their health is being undermined by not getting enough sleep. And so that's not what I'm trying to do here. But there's some new theories about why you need sleep. So what we know about sleep so far is that virtually every species, from the most complex species like humans and mammals to primitive species, requires a period of sleep or dormancy. I was at somebody's house for Christmas dinner, and they have a fish in an aquarium. And the aquarium was darkened, and the fish was just floating there. And I said, what's the fish? I mean, it was upright. It wasn't floating on its back. And I said, what's the fish doing? And the hostess said, the fish is sleeping. It requires a certain amount of sleep. It's active certain times during the day and other times of the day. It just sort of hangs out there. And so, you know, we know this is very important. And we know that experiments show that you can actually turn a person diabetic if you sleep deprive them within a very short time, within a few days. Their blood sugar control will go kablooey, and they will have very high levels of a stress hormone called cortisol, and it's not good. Performance declines. In fact, this whole notion, this is a stupid notion. In medical school, we thought we were being so heroic by pulling all-nighters. We thought we could cram more facts into our brain by sitting in the library and studying all night and then falling asleep with our face in a book and then throwing some water on our face, having a cup of coffee, and then going into the exam. But that was dumb because you actually require sleep for consolidation of memory. So, but there's a new theory about why you really need sleep. Because let's say, all right, fine, you know, you don't sleep, you feel brain dead, and you go diabetic. Actually, it's been shown that if you don't sleep, you die. You die. You can die of sleep deprivation. And nobody knew why until lately, but a new discovery may reveal why sleep seems mandatory for all animals. Maybe not plants, but animals. It turns out that sleep may play a role in garbage clearance from the brain. There is a brain drainage system which has just been described. It is called the glymphatic system. Not the lymphatic system, the glymphatic system. It literally flushes brain and spinal cord fluid into the space between brain cells. I guess it's kind of like Miracle Lube for the brain. And without a period of sleep, the fluid and debris accumulate. So the glymphatic system carries and washes away this junk from your brain into the liver for disposal. And these there are certain harmful biomolecules that build up in the brain during waking hours, and they need periodic flushing out. Now, another way to do this is through general anesthesia. Experimental animals have been anesthetized, and under general anesthesia, the brain also cleans itself out. But general anesthesia is not what we're looking for when we're trying to replicate a natural cycle of sleep. So this is critical information that garbage disposal may be sleep's primary task. I mean, yes, we're trying to take out the garbage of our daily experiences and memories, but literally, sleep may help us to purge potentially dangerous toxins from our brains, toxins which may accumulate and ultimately form amyloid plaque, leading to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and a couple of tips for your skin. You know, we tend to, here on Intelligent Medicine, believe in if you've got skin problems, instead of putting a lot of junk on your skin, consider getting an internal lube job. Make sure you get plenty of essential fatty acids, omega-3 fatty acids, GLA from black currant seed oil, or borage oil, or primrose oil, very helpful for skin problems, vitamin E and so on, zinc. But I'll tell you about a few things that you can apply to your skin that are very helpful. One of my favorites is something called Manuka cream. It's made by a company called Thorn. You can actually find out about it at drhoffman.com. Check out our store. It is a wonderful treatment for acne. It's a treatment for skin inflammation. If you've got scrapes or cuts or insect bites, it's fantastic. Also, and I have to thank a patient for turning me on to this. We talked earlier about curcumin. Curcumin, very helpful for inflammatory conditions. Well, guess what? Dermatitis is an itis. That means it's an inflammatory condition. And now they're making psoriasis creams. And psoriasis is a very tough problem to treat. So we welcome anything that can help patients with psoriasis. There's a product called Soria Gold Curcumin Gel. I'm not selling this stuff. I'm just telling you about it. Soria Gold Curcumin Gel. Other companies are making curcumin topical products, but they can be very good for inflammatory conditions. Another one I want to tell you about is extra virgin coconut oil. Coconut oil, first of all, it's a lubricant, and it's moisturizing for the skin. But it also, extra virgin coconut oil in particular, contains lauric acid. Lauric acid is antibacterial, antifungal. And these things can be very, very helpful for skin conditions. There's a recent study on extra virgin coconut oil for allergic dermatitis. So think those three compounds, Manuka cream and curcumin and extra virgin coconut oil for skin problems. I think you'll find them beneficial. All right, well, thanks for joining us for our first hour. Another hour coming up for many listeners. This is Intelligent Medicine.